Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Gideon, how's it going this week, man?
It's going good, dude. Just hanging out. You know, it's been a little busy, but getting things done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Playing some more Death Stranding. I was going to ask you, you mentioned that with Fortnite, you were like, oh, I'll play when they have Hank Hill is added into the game. Mm-hmm. Did you see he got added?
I did see. I saw he got added. How much is it for me to get Hank Hill?
Shit, I think he's probably like 2,000 V-Bucks for the whole
thing. So like 20 bucks?
I think. I'll double check while we're looking at
it. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay. But yeah, what else have I been doing? I'm slowly starting to get into like the Transformers comics. The okay. Energon universe by Daniel Warren Johnson. That's super dope. What else have I been playing? Oh, yeah, I've been playing more Doom Dark Ages, yeah. I feel like I'm, like, six chapters in or something, dude, six or seven. I did the first, like, dragon sequence or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And how you feeling?
Yeah, it's fun. Like, I'm having fun in a turn-my-brain-off way, but, like, all the story stuff, it has that effect of sometimes where I'm just like, this is all being deleted as soon as... It goes second past. Like, I'm not gonna retain any of this. Like, it is fun, but it does feel like a strange like downgrade. Especially like I just finished everything with Eternal, like the DLC and everything. So
yeah, Eternal is very sharp, and Dark Ages is incredibly blunt and not in a good way. It feels very dumbed down and stripped back.
Well, there's no dash at all, right? But there's the shield bash.
There's dash. The shield dash, yeah.
But there's no regular dash, which, yeah, I very much miss that right now. But it's still, it's like above average still. Like, it's good. It's still fun and cool and badass, but it feels like more badass for like a 10 to 13 year old boy, where like Eternal felt really badass for like metalheads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder what happened with development. And because Hugo Martin was like so all over the place with like in the marketing for Doom and Doom Eternal. Mm-hmm. Like he was going on Rogan and he was going on like Danny O'Dwyer's show and talking about him. And he hasn't been anywhere with this one.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like he doesn't want to be associated with it. Like they made him do it, but they made them like do a bunch of stuff that he didn't agree with. And so now he just want to be out there talking about it. So I don't know, man. Like you said, it's like, it's fine. It's like a big budget AAA shooter, and there's like, you know, there's things to like about that. And the arsenal is really cool, and it looks kind of good, and it doesn't look as good as Doom Eternal did. But yeah, it's basically a giant step back from Doom and Doom Eternal in every conceivable way. So it's definitely my most disappointing game of the year so far. But
yeah, it was definitely one of my most hyped, and I'm like, damn, I'm glad I'm playing this on Game Pass.
yeah, no shit. Okay, well, and you're still going on Death Stranding? You're like end of chapter 3 or something like that?
Yeah, I feel like I'm like late chapter 3. And man, I'm having a blast. I'm like really just loving that game. Oh, I did see a couple movies in the theater I wanted to mention. Let's see. I saw Bring Her Back, which is a new horror movie by the directors of Talk to Me, which was excellent. Talk to Me is a really scary horror movie. It was like, I don't know, it was good. It was like above average. I gave it a 3.5, where like it's well shot, like beautifully shot, like well directed and everything, but it's like it was almost more about like loss and grief and like child abuse than actual like horror movie stuff. So it was just a bit different than what I expected, but it was still good. I saw Friendship with Paul Rudd and Tim. Is it Tim
Was that good?
Robinson? It's good. Like if you like it's solid. I gave it a 3. Like if you like that guy's humor, I think it's worth watching. I don't think you really need to catch it in the theater, and I was a bit bummed out. I felt like there wasn't a lot of Paul Rudd in the movie. He's kind of like front loaded, and it almost kind of seemed to drag on a bit here and there with some of the pacing, or it was almost like just kind of an extended skit episode, you know? And it's again beautifully shot, you know, very A24 isms in the way it's like colored and everything like that. It was cool, but yeah, no, it a bit overhyped. And then I rewatched Summer Wars, which was like a favorite back in like late high school for me, and that was cool. I hadn't seen it since high school, but that's a pretty fun, a bit cringy at times, but just animated movie from the director of Your Name. If you've seen that anime, it
Cool.
was.
So, wide variety of stuff you got going on there. Speaking of you playing Death Stranding, thank you for the bike charger. I went ahead and I saw your bike charger. I used it.
That was so
That's
awesome.
great.
I was shocked it was still there.
All right, great. So, Neil, what have you been up to lately? As I know you're back in Wisconsin. You've been helping your mom move the mulch and blah 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 blah. What else?
One of my cousins ordered this like massive pile of mulch to put around the base of like 200 saplings that they put onto the property. But it seems like nobody really consulted binning the mulch from the pile to the tree at like the farthest back point, and it's just been it's basically just been me with a wheelbarrow and a shovel, just back and forth, back and forth,
God damn.
pulling
You're playing
picks off.
IRL Stardew Valley.
Yeah, it's not as much fun in real life. Gotta say.
You said you were pulling ticks off of you?
This isn't like a manicured property. It's
Hmm.
all grass, it's Wisconsin summer, so it's just, oh, feel something on me. Is it stinging nettle or, oh, nope, that's a tick. That's
Yeah.
another.
Congrats, you have Lyme disease now.
Jesus. Damn.
Well, and have you seen anything interesting lately outside of our podcast movie?
So part of staying with my mom's involves me.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Living in the basement, and as I look at my computer right now at the Wi-Fi connection, I've got the little black dot and the first bar of the fan. So streaming has not been a priority, shall we say.
Right. Well, tough, but probably good to unplug and get off the internet and go back out into the meat sphere, dump some mulch, just get some exercise, some fresh Wisconsin air, get some Culver's, so.
Builds character, yeah.
I did have Culver's this
Hell yeah.
afternoon.
Yeah,
How
exactly.
was that?
You're like the kid in Secondhand Lions. And they're like, we don't got TV.
That's another movie that's on my short list, actually, for future.
Everybody's giving that a five. We don't even have to watch that.
What's it
What'd you get
called?
from what'd you get from Culver's? Secondhand
Yep.
Lions is the movie.
Secondhand Lions, okay.
Culver, usually I get the sourdough melt, but this time I got the Culver's Deluxe basket. No
Nice.
tomato.
No tomato, okay. What'd you get for the
Excellent.
side and the
Oh, just
drink?
Their fries and then a Culver's root beer.
Nice.
They do have good fries, and the root beer is very good as well. I like getting the fish sandwich when I'm at Culver's. I like that you can get like a real fish sandwich. Now, I like a fillet of fish, don't get me wrong, but it's like a fish-like substance. It doesn't really feel like a real
No.
fried
It
piece of
was
fish.
made in a lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, what have I been up to? Well, I saw Star Wars, A
Yeah.
New Hope in 35 millimeter, and it was the non-George Lucas cut. It was the real Star Wars. So that was awesome. I know it sounds redundant because it's like the most famous, most popular movie ever. But like when I was sitting there and they were like sneaking onto the Death Star and sneaking around and doing all that stuff, I was just like vibrating with giddiness and vibrating with excitement. I was like, this is great. I had my Reb
Yeah.
Vines and my Mr. Pibbs and
Nice.
big thing of popcorn, and I was just like, this is awesome. And it's like a really small one room theater. That was the same night that Psycho Killer was loose in Minneapolis and was like shooting all those politicians. I don't know if you guys heard
God.
about that.
Yep.
So that was a
I
little
missed
freaky. I'm like watching the door, like make sure nobody comes in, just bah, 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 bah. But so that was a little scary. Saw that. Saw Tomorrowland with Neil, and he came over. We hung out and played Mario Kart World. I got
Nice.
my Switch 2. So that's been really awesome. Almost done with Death Stranding. I've got like 2 hours left, and it's going to be mostly cutscenes. So I've just been like putting it off.
Nice.
So I'm like right there. I like saved right before the point of no return where it's going to be like cutscene city. But I'm done with like
Right.
playing Death Stranding. I'm just like I gotta watch all the shit at the end, and I know it goes on for fucking ever because I did it a few years ago.
Nice.
So doing that, gigs are picking up starting in July for the new band. So I've been doing like today I learned like six songs on bass. All in like one sitting, so it's just like learning. And I mean, like you get better at learning songs as you get more experience on an instrument, and you like are more familiar with the fretboard or whatever. But still, it's just a lot to like sit down and like learn, and then like you take the tabs away and you see if you can do it just watching the music video, and then you go back and study. I mean, it's like it's just it takes valuable time out of your day. So. But I will say it's great when somebody has a song in there that's like three chords and nothing else. Like we're playing What's Up by Four Non Blondes. That song's like three chords. So, that only took me 5 minutes or something like that to learn that
Okay.
one. So that's easy. But
Nice.
so I've been doing that. My parents are coming up next weekend, so we'd have to clean the house, mow the lawn, and do the litter box and get everything prepared for my parents coming. But no, otherwise things are just fine and dandy around here. So,
Nice.
so let's start talking about our pick Tomorrowland. I guess I'll start. I was only vaguely familiar with this movie because I love the director Brad Bird, who also did The Incredibles and The Iron Giant and Ratatouille. And I mean, he's done other things like The Incredibles 2, which I don't think is nearly as good. And he's done one of the Mission Impossible movies that I didn't see, but I think it's like one of the better reviewed ones. And so I'm a big fan of Brad Bird, and I just had not seen Tomorrowland. And the premise seemed like incredibly interesting to me, right? It's like all the world's top scientists and geniuses and creative people all go off to like form their own society. It's very like almost BioShock, right? So the premise was extremely interesting to me, so that's why I wanted to bring it. So, how about you tell me what your previous knowledge of Tomorrowland was, and then we'll we'll go to Gideon.
Yeah. Next, nothing. I remember like the ads for it. But I like, even from those, I wouldn't have been able to tell you like what it was about. But kind of similar experience. Love the Iron Giant. Incredibles is still a classic, but not super familiar with like the rest of his work.
Okay. What about you, Gid?
Yeah, similar with the director. I love the Incredibles. It's like maybe my all-time favorite Pixar. Mm-hmm. All right, that is Pixar, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I love the Iron Giant. That's another like family favorite of ours. I remember like seeing previews for this when it was coming out, and I thought it sounded cool because I always kind of liked the idea of like Tomorrowland in Disney World and stuff. And I just thought that was interesting. And then I heard it got kind of like bad reviews, and then I just never watched it until now. So didn't know much at all.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Like, I don't think a lot of people know a lot about this movie because not a lot of people saw this movie when it came out. I don't know if it was like the biggest bomb ever, but it certainly strikes me as like, you know, an extremely expensive movie that just didn't have enough going for it or any like, you know, it has George Clooney, and we'll get to this, but like, who isn't in the movie for like 50% of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it doesn't surprise me that nobody's actually seen this. Go ahead, Neil.
I was just gonna say it's a very strange movie that it's like, like you said, we watched it together. It's got the Disney stamp on it, but we were able to watch it on Hulu, so it was we didn't have to go to Disney Plus. And
well, don't they own Hulu though, right?
Yeah, they own. Yeah. But the fact that it's not like we're gonna put the Disney.
Right.
Logo on it, but it's not directly on Disney Plus. And then like it without getting too deep into it, it felt like if this had been made 20, 30 years ago, it would have been made under the Touchstone logo. And not like directly Disney.
Yeah, I think getting what Neil means by that is like we discussed this when we were watching it together. I can't think of a more violent movie that actually has the Disney stamp on it, can you?
Yeah, I mean, that was something I was thinking about a lot, too. I don't know, because there's, like, flashes of violence in some of them. Like, I'm kind of thinking about, like, Mulan is pretty dark at times.
I'm thinking, Pirates of the Caribbean, kind of.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good one. Or even, like, the opening. I think this got edited on Disney Plus, but, like, the opening of Tarzan, where his, like, family gets killed by the tiger or whatever. There's, like, blood on the floor and shit.
Jesus.
But that those are just kind of more like sequences, whereas this is kind of a bit more throughout.
Yeah, it's more definitely like more prolonged. And I mean, we'll get into all the things that are terribly, terribly wrong with this movie. And how I feel how I have done you both a great disservice by introducing this into your lives. But
that's okay.
We'll get into it. So how would we describe the basic premise of Tomorrowland? It's that there is George Clooney is like, you see a flashback of him as a boy, and he's like a young boy genius inventor who's like invented a jetpack. He takes it to like a 1960s World's Fair hosted by Disney or something. And, you know, he's like shows them their jetpack. It doesn't work, but you know, they see one of them sees promise in him anyway. So like invites him into this, amazing society called Tomorrowland where, like all the world's top geniuses and inventors and creatives are living in secret away from the rest of society and like doing all these things that are decades and decades ahead of like what anybody else is doing, like the rest of the rabble are doing out in the real world, you know? And then, you know, unbeknownst to us for most of the movie, he is like kicked out of Tomorrowland before adulthood, and like it's been closed off and nobody's been able to come back there for, you know, like decades. And it's kind of been like closed off. So a lot of the movie is like our hero, who I don't even remember her name because her character is so horrible. Yeah. Casey.
So I was going to say prior to are recording this, I told Sam and Gideon to not fully open IMDb because I was going to ask, name a character from this movie, not the actor. Can't just say
George. No, I can't.
Shit, dude, that is a tough question. I really don't know, because it's like, robot chick or little girl, like annoying blonde girl, Clune Dog. You know.
Yeah, I would have said Clune Dog. I mean, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have said his actual name. Names.
I don't know the names.
So it's let's see. Casey Newton is our primary protagonist. She like stumbles in. She's like, what is she doing? She's like blowing up NASA installations. Like, what is she doing to NASA installations?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell she. Well, man, and she's flying drones with like leather gloves on a touchscreen phone in 2015. I'm like, this shit is not happening.
Yeah. Okay, Neil, you're the lore master. What was Casey trying to do in the beginning of the movie?
So I believe her dad is a NASA rocket engineer.
Right. Okay. And
he was going in and disabling the cranes that they were using to dismantle the scaffolding that I think they were using previously to make more NASA rockets.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that's a pretty strained metaphor they got going on here, but okay, so she's basically she's trying to like stop the man from destroying all this cool old NASA shit because it doesn't work anymore. And so she's like contacted basically by, you know, this fucking crazy android psycho Terminator bitch who is like, yo, you should come to tomorrow. You are among the ascended people. You should come to Tomorrowland. And here's a pin that will help you learn about very vaguely about Tomorrowland. And we're going to go on this adventure and like try to get you there because like we need people like you, Casey, that are trying to dismantle government installations for some reason. So so basically it's like this kind of, I don't want to say fish out of water, it's like this like young rebellious cool teen is like seeking this secret society, and she's like trying to get there the whole movie and like discover what this whole tomorrow thing is once she's seen like a tiny glimpse of it,
and like wanting to like better the world, right. I just remember her like arguing with her teacher in the classroom being like, how do we fix it? He's talking about like 1984 and Brave New World and shit. Like,
right.
I was just like, man, if I was that teacher, I'd just leave.
Dude. I don't know. Where do we want to start? Do we start with how bad Casey is?
We can go wherever you want to go, man. Like,
I think, okay, let's just...
Think about the podcast like that globe thing they use, right?
Yeah. Wherever you want to go. Let's just start with 10,000. I'll give my 10,000 foot thoughts, okay? This movie is like it's very painful for me because the premise I think is so good. And the idea of like, oh, there's this secret society, and like the idea of like this positive American exceptionalism of, oh, we were once this nation that built rockets and sent people to the moon in the 60s, and we're dismantling that because it's not as efficient anymore. Like, that's fucking bullshit. We should want to like continue all this awesome NASA stuff. Like, who cares how much money it costs when we're like doing the impossible year after year? Like, there's so much of my own personality is reflected like back at me in this movie. There's so much of it that I love. And like, I love that the message of like what Hugh Laurie is saying at the end, he's like, no, actually you people like being negative, and that's why you're all addicted to like watching the news and watching like, and like doom scrolling on social media. And like the average person's mind doesn't want things to get better. And like, I love all the like the thematic stuff of this movie so much, but it fails on like every level of being an actual movie. And that's why it's so painful. Like, it's a step beyond something like Alita Battle Angel. I didn't care about the core premise or the themes or anything. When the movie was bad, it wasn't like deeply crushing to me. When Tomorrowland is bad, it's like, I feel like you were trying to say something so positive and that I feel very deeply, but you failed at every conceivable level and made this like shitty, it almost feels like a Disney Channel original movie with like an unlimited budget. You made this shitty DCOM, and that's like the most disappointing thing at all, right? It's like it had the potential and it just wasted all of it. Yeah. So that's kind of like where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
Gid, you have a take?
Yeah, I mean, God, like at the end, they're like, oh, we're looking for the dreamers. And that's what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, good, because this shit is putting me to sleep. Like, holy shit, guys. Like, it's like, I don't know. I'm not trying to be like super negative on it, because there was certain things that I did enjoy. But like, even with some of that, like, I don't know, the ideology or whatever the main villain is talking about near the end, just like certain parts of this movie, I'm like, it just feels like you're like preaching at me, but this is also like a program that feels like made exclusively for like boys from age like 5 to 7 or something. Or like, this is, the premiere of a new Disney Plus show, but like before it was all streaming, and it's like, the ratings are so bad it was canceled like after that pilot, like something like that. And it was making me think a lot of Meet the Robinsons and like the futuristic kind of utopia that they're striving for, by kind of, at least more so in that, maybe like, you know, believing in yourself and whatever, stuff like that. But I don't know, like, I really liked the visual effects. I liked some of the sequences and set pieces, and I think Clooney is charming and just like he always is, but I'm like, I was just so, it was hard for me to grab onto like anything with this movie. It just felt very disconnected most of the time. Felt like I think Alyssa mentioned, she wasn't like fully watch it, but it was like, it's the perfect movie like to have on, like on the TV while you're like waiting and your car is like in the shop and you're in the garage, mm-hmm. just like waiting. So
yeah, I don't know. How about you, Neil?
Yeah, I think the big problem with this movie is that it doesn't utilize any of the resources that it has, like you said, it's got like this interesting premise. The visual effects aren't bad. Mm-hmm. It's got good actors in George Clooney and Hugh Laurie, but it doesn't use anything efficiently. Like, we mentioned that George Clooney is like not in the movie for the first half. Hugh Laurie's in it for even less. So, you know, they're not being used well. We spend 90% of the movie, I'd say, and that's being generous to the 10% that I'm going to credit to them being in Tomorrowland. It's mostly just like in the real world. Despite like George Clooney's character being able to make a almost functioning jetpack in the 60s, like it's our world with like, you know, shadow government stuff happening in the background. So like, you know, we're just stuck in boring Texas for most of the movie. And then like with the sci-fi elements, like I don't need everything to be explained in minute detail. Like, this isn't Warhammer 40K. But there are major sci-fi elements that are not explained at all. Like, the biggest one being that we created Tomorrowland in an alternate dimension, and we are staffing it with human realistic androids. And all of this was possible in the 60s. And now we've moved to present. Like,
and the only way to access it is by shooting out of the Eiffel Tower rocket.
Yeah,
into space, and then into space, and then back into, you know, not to quote Boss Nass, but the planet core, and like go into this fucking portal and shoot out in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, and there was a shot, or go ahead, Neil. Sorry,
go ahead, Gid.
Real quick, there was a shot when they're right after that when they're like crashing in Tomorrowland, and it's like zoomed in really close up, and they're like the whole screen is spinning with like the rocket ship, and she's just like freaking out. I was like, is this me watching the movie? Is this a mirror right now? Like,
again, that was for the longest time. That was gonna be the thumbnail to this episode. was the weird image of like George Clooney's face like being way wider than it should have been when he's like in the rocket. And so the thumbnail is gonna be the creepy robot bitch running behind the pickup Ooh. Truck at full.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about that. We almost pissed ourselves laughing on the couch when she like, and she like got up after getting hit by the car, and then she started sprinting after the car. Me and Neil about died.
Yeah, same. I that was like absolutely the best part of the movie and worth watching just for that. I was like, and this is one thing I got to talk about. There's certain things I'm like, how in the fucking hell did this make it into the final cut of a Disney movie? She got hit by a fucking truck, dude. And like it's like some cowboy guy who runs out. Oh my god, are you okay, princess? Or whatever. It's like holy shit, I can't believe this happened. Dude, and then yeah, her being a Terminator just flying around, ripping doors off.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ! Dude,
like the part that I can't believe was in the Disney movie was when Casey finally gets to Clundog's house and they're getting invaded by like the Robotronic FBI men in black, and she's like beaten one with a baseball bat and she whacks it like 25 times or something like that.
Yeah,
I was like, god damn, this is like so violent for a Disney movie. Actually, the point where it really goes off the rails in terms of the violence is when she shows up at the sci-fi store that's owned by Keegan-Michael Key. Right. And they like straight up are like dematerializing those the FBI guys that show up. They're just like, and then like they Thanos. Explode, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, just dusting them, man. Yeah, that show is crazy. And
that store is where this movie went off the rails.
Oh yeah, man. And they were just like,
I don't think this movie was ever on the rails.
No.
But I think we should talk. Go ahead. The premise a little bit more. So it's not just that there's this city in an alternate dimension run by Hugh Laurie that's meant to be like the haven for all the really talented people in the world. At some point, through the use the study of tachyons, they think that they are able to predict, or not even predict the future, they can see the future. And so Hugh Laurie and George Clooney both have like the counter from Lost that says like in 60 years, the world is going to end in all the ways. There's going to be a nuclear war. There's also going to be like a tsunami. Like the world just ends in 60 years with 100% certainty. And somehow... the female lead being in like the room and asking like, so how do we stop it? It dropped like 99.94% certainty. So, which like, again, I like that there's this element of, okay, like people are too cynical. We need to, you know, stop wallowing in like misery and think about what we can do that's proactive and like not just consider things as a foregone conclusion. I like that, but again, I think like Brad Bird was like trying to do like 10 things and the movie just can't contain like all the threads and messages that he wants to get across. Like somebody needs to come in and look at his script and look at what he was trying to do. Like, look, I get that you want to be positive and all this, but we need to cut this down to like 3 themes.
Right. Like focus in.
Yeah, it's just like too spread out. They don't spend enough time like explaining. Like again, I don't need an in-depth explanation, but it's like a mystery, but not one that you as the viewer can figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine if the characters don't know, but you as the viewer can like know what's going on. Because like you're seeing things from like Hugh Laurie's perspective as well. So like, and then it all comes together in the end. and it's just like a structureless slop.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's like, you know, if I dig through here, I can find things that I want and like, but mostly it's just slop.
And I don't know about you guys, but especially like the last 10 minutes, just the visual style. It's like at times, especially the last 10 minutes, it felt like an antidepressant ad or something. Just like it looked like an ad I've seen on YouTube that I would skip or something, you know, like I'm literally just talking about like the way it looks and it's shot and lit and stuff.
Yeah. I kind of feel you. It does sort of feel like if you have an erection lasting longer than 4 hours, please consult your doctor if you use, you know, Tomorrowland. Like, yeah, I kind of see what you're saying.
And then even with the well, there was another thing I wanted to mention, which is like some of the things that I thought were strange. I'm like, how does this get in the final cut? Like when the android Terminator girl is like about to sacrifice herself because she has the bomb or whatever, and Clooney is, you know, drops her right before that, like, does she just straight up like, she's like confessing her love for him, but when he was like a child, but now he's an adult, George Clooney. I was like, she's like, oh, I was never able to like love or be angry or whatever. I was like, you're saying you love him in so many words and you're still like a robot. A child robot, you know.
Right.
Like, this is weird.
That
I was like, why is
that
this
was weird
conversation here?
I was like crossing my fingers, hoping for them to kiss, so I could be like totally grossed out by the whole thing.
I was waiting for him to like put her into an adult android body. Like, I saved her memory core, and now I'm going to put her into an adult female body, so we can be together. Except she's not going to be age appropriate for George Clooney. She's going to be in like her mid 20s to early 30s. But I'm both glad and just incredibly disappointed that they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And that he just lets her body fall and explode.
Oh, that was awesome.
Vacuum machine.
Dude, that was some wallpaper worthy shit. Dude, that was really good.
Look, all I'm saying is that it was no Superman moment from Iron John.
Oh yeah, dude. Man, I need to rewatch that. But I'll probably cry my eyes out.
Oh, that's the best. I love that. What else to say about this movie? So, immediate red flag upon starting this movie. George Clooney is talking to the camera and trying to explain like what's going on, and Casey keeps interrupting him with this cringe-inducing dialogue.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It never stops. They are bickering the entire movie.
Yep.
And super like annoying. They took the like female lead video game protagonist dialogue, and they just made an entire movie out of it. She's like snarky and cool, and listens to punk rock, and talks back to everybody, and it just doesn't work. And for Casey at all, it's just she's so the Casey is like would be the most annoying character in any other movie except for this one, where the little android girl is the most annoying character ever.
Mm-hmm.
Hated that android girl with like a deep resentment.
I was just always making fun of how she talked. Like, she was just annoying. God. And the
only two cool parts of this movie are George Clooney and Hugh Laurie, who don't show up until like 50% of the way through, and then like 80% of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. And also Hugh Laurie gets crushed, and like all the debris falls on him and kills him. Like, that was pretty dark too.
He doesn't even get like instantaneously crushed. Like, he gets like the first half of his body crushed, and he's like suffering for a long time. And before the rest of the pillar, and he has like a really funny Disney like and then it hits him and kills him, which is like totally weird. And
it's like, why are we like the tone this?
The tone is so all over the place, and
man. And the when the Terminator girl like jumps into the truck, and like the editing is giving me whiplash too. Like the movement of her like smashing through the back window and getting into the car, or like when they're, it feels like they like fast forwarded some of the footage, right? Just 2x speed a little bit. It was weird. But like her ripping off the door handle and like breaking like the ignition and shit. I was like, God, it's like, yeah. And one other edit, she's like ripping her throat out or something. You know, this is a horror movie. Like, it's weird.
You know, they don't really, you know, it kind of goes to like to what Neil said. They don't do a good job like explaining the limitations of this universe. You know, like they always say that like in a horror movie, you need to understand the rules about the given monsters, right? Like I wouldn't really classify Gremlins as a horror movie, but you know what I mean? Like they explain that it's like, don't feed it after midnight. Don't get it wet. No direct sunlight. Boom. Got the rules. Got it. It makes sense to me now. We can now build the movie around playing with those rules. And we use that as like restrictions to frame the movie. With Tomorrowland, there are no rules. It's like, we got jetpacks and clones in the 60s. There's a secret society in another dimension somehow. Mm-hmm. What are exactly the little girl's powers? Like, she can hold bombs within her own body for long periods of time without them exploding. She's been around for 60 plus years and doesn't appear to age or run on any kind of energy. It's like, what exactly is going on? Like, we have the power to create human, like, basically replicants and that run on infinite energy, but we don't have the power to, like, stop global warming. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, what are the what are the rules here of this universe? It's just, it was just fucking bizarre. I don't know. How else do we want to shit all over this thing? This thing...
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. It was just, I don't know. It was hard for me to, it felt like even like trying to pay attention was hard because it's just like, almost like the rate of the dialogue or like whatever they're doing is so like slow at times. Mm-hmm. And then when there is like that action, which I do think like the visuals are cool. One visual thing at the very beginning, like, I loved how like what was the like Disney World logo or Disney logo is all like futuristic. That was cool, but again, it's like, God damn it, Tomorrowland! Like, now we're not going to see something like this because you biffed it, man. You know?
Yeah. The movie's also like way too long, even though like you guys already pointed out, there's too much stuff and they couldn't fit it all into the runtime. It feels like this movie was probably shooting for like 2 hours and 40 minutes or something. And at some point, the studio stepped in and was like, you got to cut this thing down. It's way too long already, and nobody cares about any of these characters.
Yeah, do you feel like this was like, you know, sometimes I feel like a movie, like, the studio, something happens to the movie. Like, the studio gets way too over-involved and stuff like that. Do you feel like it was more that or more on, like, the director with this? Or...
I think it was, like, pretty much everything that's wrong with this movie stems from the core of like having a bad script. I think like just focusing on the wrong things. I think the key artistic like themes in the vision here is really interesting and like a really cool premise, like I said, but I just think that like the script and the things that they chose to focus on were 100% the wrong things. I don't know how I would fix it. I mean, I would probably make George Clooney be in all of it, not, you know, only half of it.
Right.
I would maybe define the rules a little better, but you know, like I said, I think there's a great, it is so bad for me because there is a great core here. There's something really interesting at the center of it. It's just that I think they just failed it with the execution. Can I tell you guys like a little, I feel like we're running out of things to say with Tomorrowland. Can I tell you guys like a little Brad Bird theory that I have?
Sure.
Okay, so Brad Bird directed The Incredibles, right? But Brad Bird got his start. He was born in California, like near Anaheim in Burbank. Mm-hmm. And he grew up like obsessed with the Disney animators, right? And he was like born in the 50s, right? So a lot of those original Disney animators were still working there at that time. So as a child, he went and like wrote Walt Disney a letter and like interned at Walt Disney Animation Studios during their golden age of like some of the 50s and 60s and stuff, and got education there. And they like went off to college, went to art school, went to film school, whatever, got out, got a job at Disney. And by the time he was actually of like working age, it was already like Walt Disney was already dead. And this company that he had grown up worshiping was having a really, really hard time. Like, Walt Disney Animation Studios were famously not very good during the 70s and 80s when Brad Bird first started working there. So he shows up and he's like, what the fuck happened to this place? Like, you guys used to be, you know, on top of the world and like showing the entire world how to do it. And he got fired from Disney for being too negative and pushing everybody like, we need to go back to the old way of doing things and like return to being this great company. And they fucking got rid of him because he
is me great again.
Yeah. So this gets in. This is where my fan theory comes in. Brad Bird's self-insert in his movies is Syndrome from The Incredibles. Because you know how like Syndrome is Buddy in the beginning of the movie and he's like, I'm your biggest fan. And then he's like, go home, buddy. That's exactly what happened to Brad Bird at Walt Disney Animation Studios. Like, The Incredibles is him telling like his life story about like being the biggest fan ever of this company. And then them like totally blacklisting him and him like wanting it to return to its former glory. And there's like a lot of that in this as well. I just think in all of his movies focus around like Iron Giant is you are who you choose to be, right? And Ratatouille is very much the same way, and The Incredibles the same way. And you can see his almost he has like almost like an Ayn Rand kind of objectivist kind of bent to him and like a lot of his thinking and a lot of his themes and things like that. Although he's like rejected that notion publicly. He's such an interesting dude and with a very interesting like point of view and a great backstory. And I believe so greatly in like the artistic vision of this movie. I just think that the execution is mm-hmm. like beyond horrible. Like it's not the cheapest movie we've seen, but
no.
Given the budget is certainly like one of the worst productions.
And even I feel like the visual, like the retrofuturism stuff, was also very like much a letdown for me. Obviously I was like liking the giant robots and stuff, but like so much of this movie felt like high budget generic and it didn't feel like as fleshed out as it could have been. And especially when I think of like Syndrome's like badass like layer and shit, you know, that he had as far as like retrofuturism goes. But yeah, just bummer with all the potential, man.
How about you, Neil? Anything left to bitch about with this movie?
Nothing that we haven't already said. I just think it's, or I agree with you on it. I just think it's a lot of wasted potential. There's interesting ideas, interesting themes, not really interesting characters, unfortunately. But
mm-hmm.
it got lost in its own sauce. It just. There isn't enough of anything useful to sustain it. Instead, it just becomes slop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of a good summary on it. Gideon, anything left for you to say on this one? I feel like it's always hard with bad movies. Like it's always like hard to push for content because we're always like, yeah, it was boring and I didn't really pay attention because it sucked.
Man, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there is anything else, really. I mean, definitely a couple worthy, like, screen grabs for some good meme potential throughout, I feel like.
Yeah.
And like I was saying earlier, like, just lots of weird, disturbing imagery. I don't like seeing the Terminator girl, like, open. She lifts up her shirt and her stomach comes out and there's a blue grenade in it. Like, she's a fucking weird mini fridge or something. Like, I don't know. I don't think I've got too much else I can think of. I think I said pretty much everything. I'll double check.
All right, let's wrap this bitch up.
No worries.
I'm already angry about. I'm angry about this movie all over again. who's ready to give a score?
We can go. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna give this movie a one because of exactly what I said. Because like I think we've watched worse movies, but I haven't felt so disappointed by something that I thought was going to be really cool. Like I was expecting at least a 3. I knew this movie was like mixed But I thought because of what I knew about the themes, I'd be really into it. But in fact, it had the opposite effect on me, which is like because it was bad. And I really was looking forward to like the thematic stuff. It just felt it's so much more painful. Right. It's like if a new, you know, if like the new Battlefield game comes out and it sucks, it's like, who cares? You know, I wasn't invested in Battlefield anyway. If the new Hideo Kojima game comes out and it sucks, I'm like, I'm fucking crushed. You know, and it's that kind of thing.
And coming from the guy who did Iron Giant and Incredibles, this is a massive bummer. This is what happened, dude?
So, I'm giving this a one just out of pure spite. Like, you know, there were other movies that I think that we've watched where I was like, you know, maybe it's like objectively worse or whatever, like the made-for-TV Scooby-Doo movie. But, it's... you know, my expectations for that were so much lower. So, you know, so I'm going to give this a one. How about you, Neil? We watched it together. We endured the pain.
I think it definitely, for me, has the, like, you know, like, Grace made popcorn. We stopped by the store and got Mexican Coke and Fanta.
Nice.
I had Sour Patch Kids, you know, like, and I did have that moment of just like pure evil cackling when they did the awful running animation for the girl.
So good.
I think we talk a lot about like, you know, what makes something a five for us. And like, and it really the Return to Zombie Island Scooby-Doo movie is that's like the clearest definition of a one for me. Not just that it was bad by itself, but that it like made other things worse. Like it took a good movie and made it bad. This one is not a one to me. It's solidly a two. It's not bad in the way that Return to Zombie Island was bad. It's not like weird and gross the way the History Boys was. It's equal parts like incredibly forgettable. Again, like I cannot tell you a single character's name from that movie. But like you mention it and it does like it's kind of like when you were sick and like you had something in your stomach to throw up. So like when you see that same dish again, like even though it wasn't what made you sick, like you like pull back, like, oh no, I don't want to eat that again because I associate it with being sick. It's kind of that same feeling, like, oh, don't bring up Tomorrowland. It's not good. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it anymore. But it's not quite a one for me. It's still a two.
All right. Kenny, what about you, man?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, one thing I did just remember I wanted to mention before we close. When they give all the dreamers the pin that, like, teleports them to the other dimension, and, you know, we saw how that worked out for her when she just didn't know what the fuck it was, and she's, like, falling down the stairs in her house and, like, wandering out into the water and into the river somewhere. I'm like, people are gonna fucking die. Okay, and you're just giving them this random thing. Like, what if they have Alzheimer's or something? Okay,
dude, like, what was with her dad who like heard Casey fall down the stairs and he came out and he's like,
"Oh yeah,
all right, well, I guess nothing happened."
Oh my god, he was literally like in Chaos Theory, like, "Oh, must have been the wind." It's like,
oh my god, what was that noise?
I'm like, You don't know that commotion of someone falling down the stairs? Like, oh my god. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, god, this was just like, it was almost like sitting through orientation, you know, or like training materials or some shit like that, where it's just like, and I'm with you, like, I think it had a lot of potential. I love robots and sci-fi shit. Always thought Tomorrowland and like Epcot sounded really cool. Didn't know a lot about it. Obviously, I mean, I love Incredibles and Iron Giant. That shit is like really profound to me. Yeah. So I'm kind of with you. Like, I I'm with you and Neil, because it's like this is, I guess, more in the two, but I give it a 1.5 on Letterboxd. Like, it's like so inoffensive, and like, if I, oh, you gotta watch your cousin who's 6 years old, okay, I'll put on fucking Tomorrowland while I play Elden Ring or something on my, like, I don't know. It's just, it's like, and whereas like something like Alita, like, I recognize Alita is not that good of a movie, but I keep going back to it because it has so many entertaining and laugh out loud scenes for me. In a similar way to this, the Terminator getting hit by the car, but I can just pull that up on YouTube or whatever, I can just get what I need or wanted out of this movie without ever rewatching it. And yeah, it just, like I mentioned before, it has that effect of just like, I'm just deleting everything as soon as it passes by on the screen. Like, I'm not remembering or retaining any of this. So I guess I would give it like a 2. I guess I would.
Okay.
If I'm being generous,
All
because
right,
it's
fair
like
enough.
that, it's not the worst thing in the world. It is like passable and like mildly entertaining and inoffensive, but it is a huge bummer, especially coming from this guy. And it would have been nice seeing almost similar to like Event Horizon, like that cut of the movie, or like, re-edited cut of this or something.
Yeah, I want to see the offensive version of this movie. Like, I think
Yeah.
that's an interesting movie.
The horror
Director's cut.
movie for me. I need that.
I mean, there are those like, there's like that YouTube channel that recuts trailers into being like different genres. So they turn like Top Gun into being like a gay romance movie between Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer. Or like,
It's
there's
not
definitely a
that.
recut of this where,
What do you mean a recut of Top Gun?
There's something, deeply scary about the little girl in this movie. You could totally make into like a Terminator style kind of thing. So yeah.
Basically that
Well,
movie Megan, right?
kind of, which is very popular. I see, there's like a sequel coming out. That movie made a lot of money.
Dude, the sequel looks like, holy shit, that looks really cringy, dude. Like, if you haven't seen the trailer for the sequel,
Okay.
I'm sure people are gonna have fun with it, but that is a lot of cringe packed into one trailer.
What did we d Neil, you were saying like you were suggesting what we should do for next week before Gideon joined. What was our plan?
Okay, so my proposal, so on my list of movies, I did have The Meg listed,
Okay,
but
right.
rather than that, tomorrow I believe is the 50th anniversary of Jaws.
Nice.
So I'm going to suggest that we do Jaws.
Okay.
Then, Sam, you wanted to do Lawrence of Arabia, and maybe
I
do
want
that
to
as
do Lawrence, or I want to do Lawrence of Arabia as a two-parter because it's 4 hours long, and I'm trying to respect people's lives outside of this city podcast. And I also think that somewhere, like, if not before the end of June, before the end of July, we should do our like
rewrite.
when a lot of us don't have any time to watch a 2 hour movie because like summer tends to get busy for people. We should do our review and recap episode where we go back and we change our scores on previous movies.
That sounds good.
So somewhere in there. So if we want to do like Jaws, Lawrence, and then after Lawrence, we do our recap. Halfway through the year episode, then I think that'd be good if everybody's amicable to
Yeah,
doing those.
I'm totally fine with that.
And if we do Lawrence, we can skip my next because obviously I'm picking it. But I felt like after a string of, I think we just had like three dud weeks kind of in a row, of like movies that not everybody liked as much. So I would be down for like Jaws and then Lawrence are like, they're also very summery movies. I mean, I don't know that Lawrence of Arabia takes place in the summer, but it takes place in the middle
It's
of the fucking
hot.
desert, so
It's fucking
it's
hot.
hot. So yeah, so I think it's it could be fucking December in Egypt for all for all I know, but still seems kind of hot. Also, Gideon, Grace is like an hour away from being done with Indiana Jones and the
Oh,
Great Circle.
nice.
So he's like really close to finishing it. I haven't. I don't know anything about it. She hasn't told me at all. So I'm going in blind.
I saw Alyssa play a little bit of that, and one thing I wanted to mention too, she's been playing South of Midnight. She's almost done with that. And I think I might play that myself after. It's given a lot of Psychonauts vibes. Yeah.
I know how you feel about Psychonauts, and the boys are double fine. So
hell yeah.
All right, guys, we'll get out of here. Anybody doing anything interesting the rest of the evening?
Yeah, I got tomorrow off, so I'm probably just gonna jump into Death Stranding, make some progress on that, maybe some Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe watch something.
Yeah, cool, man. I've got tomorrow off as well. I'm gonna try to finish Death Stranding, and then I've got a big. We decided because everybody had the day off, we were just gonna do band practice tomorrow. So
nice.
I gotta head over to St. Paul. There's two major interstates that go through Minneapolis, north, south, east, and west, and they're all under construction right now, and they're all down to like one lane. So people go off the interstate thinking they're going to be smart, and they try to like cut through the smaller neighborhoods to get around it, but then everybody does that. So now not only is the interstate clogged, all the east and west streets surrounding the interstate are also clogged. So getting from here to St. Paul normally takes like 20 minutes. And if I go at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, like rush hour, it'll be like a 45 minute drive to St. Paul. So that's awesome. So I probably got to do one of those tomorrow. So that'll be awesome.
Good luck. Be safe.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Have fun.
Neil, you doing anything fun tonight?
Nope. I'm just going to do some writing and, I go to bed early. I've got a weird day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Hope it goes well. A weird day tomorrow. You can't just say that and not elaborate. What do you got?
It's not really a shareable thing right now.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave it at that, and we'll see where things go in the future. All right. So next week we're doing Jaws. So I'll see you guys then.
All right. Later, boys.
Peace out, guys.
See you guys.